Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Christmas Presents.
God, we give you thanks for the word, for the opportunity we have to find hope and direction, for the challenges it stirs up within us, for the way it shapes the way we see our lives and the world around us. Help us right now, O God, to be open to your leading, to your teaching, to your hope, to your call. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, as I said, we've been looking at different ways to live out Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And so when we look to Christ and we think of the Christmas story, one of like the old carol, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And so when we're looking to Christ, we're saying we look forward to the very presence of God in a new way in our lives. But Emmanuel isn't just something we look to Jesus for. It's something we become in Jesus. If we are followers of Christ, if we are the body of Christ as his followers, then we not only enjoy and respond and receive Emmanuel, God with us, but we live out and express Emmanuel in our lives. You'll notice that the title for today's sermon is The Emmanuel of Love Serving. And we're so used to looking at titles and going right past them, which in many cases, especially if I made the title, it's probably the right approach. Just skip through that. But in this case, the idea of love serving, I specifically wanted to say that the way we become Emmanuel is by our love expressed through service. I could have said through loving service or through lovingly serving or something like that. And bear with me if this seems like splitting hairs. But, you know, some hairs I think might be worth splitting a bit. For me, there's a big difference between serving and having a big sense of a loving attitude while I serve and looking at somebody and saying, I love them. And my love for that person is what's motivating my service. You see what I mean? Sometimes we say, well, I love God, and so I serve. I love God, and I express God's love through service, which is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's not even, you know, mutually exclusive to the idea I'm getting across today. But I still think it's not exactly the same thing as saying, I love you. I love that person. That person right there is an object of my love. Therefore, I serve. That's a little different. And I think it's how this chapter starts. When I was a kid growing up, we had a pastor who, you know, when I was a kid, 1 Corinthians 13, anybody who quoted it, you know, love is patient, love is kind, you know, they'd always call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. And I had a pastor as a kid who, he always said, let's all open our Bibles to the love chapter, and we'd all be turning to Corinthians, and he'd say, John 13. He said, John 13, not 1 Corinthians 13. He says, 1 Corinthians 13, because it's great, because it's Paul talking about what love is like. He says, John 13 is even better, because it shows you what love looks like in Jesus. And the whole concept of love and acting in love is really the spine. It's the very skeleton that this chapter is built around. And the first phrase I want us to zoom in on is one in the first couple of verses, which is the idea of loving your own. Loving your own. The first two verses says this. It was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So it talks about who he's loving and how he's loving, right? The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now, are you familiar with the idea of Judas? You've heard of him? If you're looking at your Bible might start with a new paragraph in verse 2 there. Does it? Does it have a new paragraph, a paragraph break there? That's fine. I mean, paragraphs, you know, it's kind of subjective. But I think that paragraph maybe diminishes the verse in front of it if you have a paragraph break there. Because I think it's pretty interesting that Jesus is in a room full of people, and one of them he knows is going to betray him. And that's the room Jesus looks at and says, "These are my own. These are the ones God has given me. Are they all pretty? No. Are they all equal? No. Are they the same? No. Are they all faithful? No. Are they all loyal? No. Are they all on the same page? No, but they're my own. These are my people." Jesus looked at a group of people and said, "These are my own." I can't help, if you read the whole Gospel of John, for me it's hard not to think of Jesus' prayer in the 17th chapter of John when I read this story about what's happening in the 13th chapter. You keep your eye on the 13th chapter and let me share with you a couple of lines from Jesus' prayer. And I think you'll be able to see why the prayer comes to mind. Jesus praying to God the Father says this: "God, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world." Those you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. And now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Jesus looked at a group of people here and he says, "You're the ones God gave me. You really belong to him, but he gave you to me. You're my own. You're my own." You see, we live in a world where we have unlimited selection potential, don't we? If you don't like where you live, what do? Look for a new place to live. Sick of your television? Get a new one. Don't like that restaurant anymore? Find a new one. There's hundreds of them, right? Unfortunately, we tend to extend this beyond things. That person kind of a pain in the neck? Find a new friend. That family member, a little bit hard to deal with. I just saw Mary look at Justin and go, yeah. You have to be more subtle than that, Mary. But see, the thing about family and relationships are that they're never perfect, and they always involve people that aren't perfect. And so they always put us in the crisis because you can't just go and exchange them for something better or different. Even Jesus looked at those disciples and said, "You're my own." And don't think it didn't cross his mind that, you know, don't think that there weren't days Jesus looked at those 12 and then go, "Seriously, Father? Really? These are the ones, huh? These are the ones." I think it would change the way we look at how we demonstrate love through service if we could begin with this basic idea, to look at the people in our lives and say, "They're the ones. They're the ones. Those kids are my kids. They're the ones God has given me. They're the ones I need to love. And what kind of love? To the end kind of love. What if they're betrayers? Well, they're in the room too. What if they're not perfect? They're in the room too. So we begin with this simple idea of recognizing the people that are in our lives and say, they're the ones. They belong to me. Own it. These are the people who are in your life. Own it. Look at them as people God gave you to love with a Emmanuel kind of love. Who are the people God has given you? Who do you look at and consider to be your own? I mean, come on. I know some of you people. It's Christmas week. I mean, some of you are going to be going places and you're going to be with people who have the same last names that you have or that your wife has. And you're going to have thoughts go through your mind. Don't ask me how I know this. But you might think, how long are we going to be here exactly? Or when are we heading out? Or did that uncle actually say that out loud? And I hope this isn't too shocking to you, but some of them have thoughts too. You know? Dave and Sherry are going to be here with us the day after Christmas. Oh, good. Really looking forward to that. You know? But you know what? It is what it is. They are my people. We belong to each other. And I think there's something precious about Jesus looking at that room and saying, these are my own. I love them. You know, years ago, anybody remember David Letterman? He used to be, he's still on, I think, yeah. You remember when he made the big jump from one network to another because the new network offered him an obscene amount of money to leave one network behind and go? I remember an interview where they said to him, well, you know, aren't you worried that when you've been at this network so long, aren't you worried that a lot of those people, when you move, they won't follow you? And he said, you know, with the dollar signs shining in his eyes, he just smiled and said, well, then I'll buy a new audience. You see? Because that's very tempting to just, my street lingo for this is kicking other people in the head. Kick them in the head. Yeah, that's when you say, like, you're not worth it. You're too much trouble. You're a burden. You're a problem. You're difficult. Emmanuel doesn't kick people in the head. Emmanuel sticks with you with a love that goes to the end. Who do you look at? See, when you go home or when you're spending time with family or when your daughter is that guy that she's been dating a lot this year and this year he's coming home and you're sitting there. Are you going to be removed or are you going to say, these are my own? These are the ones. And are you committed to loving them? Secondly, knowing who we are. Look at verse 3. It begins with the words, Jesus knew. What did he know? Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, and after that he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Notice, what did Jesus know? Jesus knew who he was in terms of his relationship and calling, his relationship with God, right? He knew who he was. He knew what God was doing in his life. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And so he got up from the meal. Look, Jesus knew something, and so he did something. It doesn't say Jesus knew who he was, in relationship to the Father, but even though he knew that, he did this. It's not in spite of who he was, it's precisely because of who he was. Jesus knew who he was in the Father, and that led him to do what he was doing. He knew who he was in God, and so he did what needs to be done when you see yourself in that role. You know, when I am hard to get along with, when I am less than grateful, when I am less than caring, it is never the result of me having at that moment an acute understanding of who I am in God. It's usually when I have a lapse of memory, right? If I start thinking, no, Dave, you are not your own. You've been purchased with a price. You are a sinner saved by grace. You are somebody that God demonstrated his love to in this. While you were his enemy, he still loved you. You see, when you remember who you are, that becomes the basis for what you do. You forget who you are, you won't do what you're supposed to do. You will never be Emmanuel, God with us, if you forget about God. Jesus knew God. Jesus knew the Father. And Jesus saw his whole life in that relationship with the Father. He saw his whole purpose in relationship with the Father. And that's what led to the so in that verse. He knew something, so he lived something. Do you have a concept? Do you understand who you are in relationship with God? Are you someone who is surrendering to God? Do you put your faith in Christ? Remember that, because that's what makes you capable of loving. And that's the kind of love that leads you to serve. And do you understand? Jesus knew who he was in the Father, and that shaped how he saw these people. God, I'm here. These are the people you put me with. Right? You know, do we not, as human beings and Christians, do we not suffer a lot with this sense of frustration that we can't do anything to change the world? Don't you ever have that feeling? Look, all those people are suffering. Well, what can we do about it? Look, this political thing is corrupt. Well, what can I do about it? Look, your friend has cancer. What can I do? You know, we're constantly facing things we can't do anything about. And so what do we do when we go home? We don't do anything. How would that change if we thought, I am a person being loved and redeemed by God, and here I am with the people he's given me. You know, like, you could just sit and listen to somebody. Look them in the eye and listen to them. You could compliment somebody. Have you ever had your day changed because somebody was actually nice to you? That's in your power. You will probably see a table filled with dirty dishes sometime this week. You could actually wash them. Right? Okay, wait a minute. I like a more theological and philosophical kind of faith. I don't like, you know, one of the stuff that actually makes me do stuff. But see, Jesus says, if you know who you are and you look around you and you see these people and you say, I know who they are and I love them with a lasting love, you get up and do what needs to be done. Your understanding of who you are in God motivates you to action. And by the way, forgetting who you are motivates you toward inaction. When you say, I'm just another person in the room. Okay, well then I understand why you're just sitting there. If you say, I'm somebody in this room who understands the love of God at least a little bit, I will get up and love that person that God gave to me. Guess what? Just change the room. Just change the whole situation. One of the things Jesus understood was who he was. He also understood what needed to be done. It says that he came to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, you know, here's the teacher coming at him with a basin of water and a towel. And you know, this is not normal rabbi-teacher behavior. You know, the rabbis were loved and esteemed, you know, and everybody would hurry to meet their every need. And here's this guy who they're looking at as master and Lord. And he comes to them and says, "Let me wash your feet." And it says, so he comes to Simon Peter and he says, and Peter looks at him and says, "Wait a minute, buddy. Hold on, Lord. Do you think you're going to wash my feet?" Jesus says, "Look, I know this looks a little strange now, but you're going to figure out what I'm doing. The more you think on what I'm doing here, the more this is going to make sense to you. You're going to mature, and this will make sense to you. You don't know what I'm doing now, but later you'll figure it out." And then verse 8, Peter says, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Now here's just, you know, a little basic Bible interpretation tip is when Jesus says, "If you don't do this, you're out," that might be worth putting a little star in the margin. Jesus says, "Look, if I don't wash you, then you have no part of me." And Peter replies, "Well, then, hey, then not just my feet, my face, my hands, wash me, Lord, wash me." And Jesus, now earlier manuscripts, it's not in this slide, but earlier manuscripts indicate that Jesus rolled his eyes. And let out a deep sigh. And then said, "Look, Peter, those who have had a bath don't need to be washed head from foot again. You've been washed. You're clean. Your feet are a little dirty, but you're basically clean." He says, "But not everybody here is clean." And John adds that Jesus said that because he knew about Judas. He knew Judas was going to betray him. Well, what does this mean for us? Well, just some basic ideas here. You know, when we talk about Jesus saying, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me," that's very, there are very special ways we can think about that with Jesus, right? We might say, yes, only he can save us. Yes, only he's the one that eliminates the barriers between us and God. He's the one that makes forgiveness for our sins possible. He's the one that makes the gift of his... There's so much we look to Jesus that only he can do, right? And that's all good stuff. Unless I wash you, you have no part of me. But there's also a very simple principle. Jesus, do you get it? He's got a towel and a washcloth. This is a very down-to-earth illustration. And when you think about it, it's not just about Jesus, it's about everybody. When you love someone, guess what? You serve them. You sacrifice. And you know, I've experienced this personally and I've seen it many times, that if you love someone and give and give and pour yourself out, do you know what? Even if they act like they don't love you, you can't stop loving them. Do you know why? They got too much of you. They own you. You belong to them. They belong to you. There's no escape. And there's a simple principle here, is when you pour your life into someone, they actually have you. And some of us aren't very good at receiving. You know? "Let me do that for you." "Oh, no, 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 no." Have you heard the story about the guy who was shoveling snow off his roof? And he kind of got lost his bearings, slipped, hit a slick spot on the roof, and he had those old-fashioned boots that had the buckles, you know, they go on the top of your shoes, and they had these metal clips and buckles going down them, and he was going off the edge of the roof, and the buckle hooked on the gutter. And instead of going down to the ground, there he was hanging from the eave of his house by one boot. And this is Minnesota, and a guy, his neighbor's out in the morning. His neighbor goes out to shovel, and he looks over, and there's his neighbor hanging from the gutter. And he says, "Hey there. You look like you could use some help." The guy says, "No, I'm okay." And the guy walks over and stands right next to him and says, "Really? You look like you could use a hand." He goes, "Oh, I about got it figured out here. I'm almost done. I'll be okay." And the guy goes, "Seriously, I'm right here. Let me help you." And the guy goes, "Well, since you're here. That's how good we are at receiving, right? If you won't receive it, you don't have those people. There are people in my life who have given me a lot. And you know what? They're mine. And there are people to whom I have given a lot. And guess what? They're mine too. The way we become part of each other's life is in this pouring out. It's in this giving. There are things that we can only get from Christ. It's important that each of us look to him for that. But there are things that people in your life can only get from you. When, you know, sometimes I'll be in gatherings, you know, maybe around a holiday time like this, where I'll say, "Let's all express something we're thankful for other people in the room." And these are people who just moments ago were eating pizza. Just moments ago, they were just talking about the weather. And I'll say, "Share something that you're thankful for in our church." And somebody might say, "Well, I've known this person a long time and they've always been there for me." And it's amazing how somebody can go from talking about the weather too, they can't get to the end of a sentence. You know why? Suddenly they realize they're part of somebody's life. And the person they're talking about gets tears in their eyes too. Do you know why? They realize in that moment, we own each other. We look to him. We look to Christ. He's the Emmanuel in unique ways none of us could ever do. But in our world, in our lives, in our families, in our homes, there are ways that you and I can be Emmanuel that only we can be. And we need to allow Christ to do his work in us and come to him for renewal. But we need to also expect that God might be doing his work through us, and that there are people around us that might need our Emmanuel presence to be something that renews them. Finally, understanding what to do. Said Jesus, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And believe me, it was quiet. They were like, "What is this about?" And Jesus asked a very obvious question. "Do you understand what I've done for you? Does this seem strange? Do you get it?" He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am." He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet." See that? Now that I have lived out this Emmanuel of love that shows itself in serving, that's how you should be. You should live out this Emmanuel of love. Just as I have refreshed you and washed you, you should do this for each other. As I have set you an example, you should do as I have done for you. Sometimes I'll hear somebody say something like, "Jesus didn't come to be an example to us. He came to save us." Those are not mutually exclusive statements, my friends. Some of the ways Jesus saves us is by showing us a better way. It's not just about salvation from sin. It's about salvation from not knowing how to love. He says, "No servant's greater than his master. No messenger is greater than the one who sent him. But if you know these things, if you understand these things, if you get it, then you'll be blessed if you do it." And so I ask myself, do I follow his example? You know, is that something for Jesus to do for you? Or is it also something for you to do for others? What did Jesus say? He said, you've seen it. Now do it. Right? And that means we open our eyes to see what's around and what needs to be done, doesn't it? Right? Like one of my daughters-in-law, I know that I will see her at the sink in my kitchen this week. I know that after a meal, I don't know who all will be pitching in, but I know one person who you will not be able to get to sit down until it's done. You know why? She sees it. She sees it, and so she does it. You notice there's no part in this story where Jesus said, that's weird. There's no towels or water or basins. Send out and get some. He never says that. You know why? They're there the whole meal. But 12 of his disciples sat there, and not once did it occur to any of them, I could use that stuff to meet that need. Do you know how many needs are sitting right smack dab in front of you? You know, Christians are great at thinking about saving the world and then failing to be nice to the person across the table. You know, we're going to feed the hungry, but we're not going to do the dishes. Well, it just depends on how you see things. When you see things like Jesus, you say, here's who you are to me. This is who I am in the Father. This is what love does. You get up and you do it. You say, oh, look. Oh, look, there's a shovel right here by the front door of the church building. But I could tell by the tracks that that must be somebody else's job. Do you know who's got that job on Sunday morning? Well, between services, I looked, it was Josh Snack that had the job. Do you know why? He said, I can do that. And sometimes people around here, they move chairs. You know, nowhere in the bulletin did it say, if you're going to come to church here, do something. We're not quite that forward. But you know what? Here's the thing. At home, at church, in the world, look for the stuff that's right in the room. You know, we make care calendars because sometimes people in our church, they need a meal. They could use some help. Do you know why we make care calendars at Valley? It's not so we can recruit. It's usually so we don't have 12 people show up the same day with a meal. Okay? Because people see what needs to be done and they start doing it. Did you know it's possible to care without a care calendar? You know, we have all kinds of lists of volunteers. In fact, sometimes I have a meeting with staff and I'll look at the volunteer list and the number of names of people that are doing different things. And seriously, you cannot look at the list without feeling overwhelmed. You look at the list and go, how will we ever organize this? And we need to get new people in this. You know what? The truth is, we do our best with that. But did you know that you do not have to wait for an announcement? Did you know that, you know, if you come up and say, hey, I see this needs to be done, we're not going to say, well, wait till we think of a program for that. We see what needs to be done. We know who we are and we do it. And finally, toward the end of the verse, in the chapter, Jesus says to his disciples, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And you might say, well, Jesus, I've read the Old Testament and there was the idea of loving is in there. What's new about this commandment? Well, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus says, I'm defining love by the way I live it out. It's the Christ love that's new. The Jesus way that's new. And he says, I'm asking you to love the way I have loved, and I'm going to tell you something. That's how people know you're following me. You know, it's not because you're carrying a Bible around. It's not because you believe some stuff. That's great. Jesus says, ultimately, the proof of being one of my followers is that you're trying to love as I love. Love is a verb. You want to know what love looks like with this loved one that you're having trouble with? It's not trite to say, what would Jesus do? What would be Jesus' response to this person? How would Jesus do it? That's what love looks like. Love looks like Jesus, and it's a verb. It's Jesus in action. And it's living as him that makes that love and that discipleship visible. Oh, come, Christians, let us be good gifts of peace and charity, abundant life and hopeful day, and give until all people say, rejoice, God's with us. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for the love and the perspective Jesus has. Help us to see each other as our own. Help us to go home and look at our family members and say, they belong to me. Help us to live out love by doing. Help us to see what is needed and to be ready to participate in meeting the need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcasts and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org.